Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, September 19th. From Capitol Coverage, Colorado's auditor says the state agencies charged with reviewing discrimination complaints take too long to do their work and lack transparency. KVNF's Scott Franz has more.
The Civil Rights Division takes in complaints and passes them on to the Civil Rights Commission. The State Auditor's Office says the Commission improperly takes votes in closed-door meetings and fails to document its deliberations. The Auditor also criticizes the Division, saying it takes too long to field complaints and that it needs to speed up reviews. State lawmakers, including Senator Nancy Todd, are concerned by the findings.
There needs to be a revisiting of the role of the commission and how that is done in terms of public meetings, in terms of transparency.
The audit says actions made by the commission prevent the public from knowing that it, quote, operates in a fair and consistent manner. I'm Scott Franz.
From the Colorado News Connection, every decade or so, ponderosa pine trees produce a massive levels of pine cones, an event called a massed seeding year. Eric Galatis has more.
Trees along Colorado's Front Range are already off and running, and forest managers are jumping at the opportunity to collect and store seeds. Catherine Schlegel with the Nature Conservancy in Colorado says gathering pine cone seeds is an important tool for helping restore some of the state's forests having a tough time recovering from wildfire.
Wildfire is changing Colorado. We're seeing that large burn scars simply aren't recovering to forests. The only way that they'll recover is with human intervention. We just have to go out there and plant some trees.
The biggest fire in Colorado's history, the Hayman wildfire in 2002, burned more than 130,000 acres. Today, more than 85% of the land still is struggling to recover. Wildfires are a natural part of a forest life cycle, but Schlegel points to science showing that human development near forests and climate change have created larger, more frequent, and more severe wildfires, which leave virtually no surviving trees that can distribute new seeds. She adds that wildfires are projected to become even larger as the planet warms, with large sections inside the fire that burn especially hot.
And so both of those are very hard for land managers to plan for. We don't know exactly when or where that will occur. But what we can do by collecting seeds and planning for these types of events is to be ready for recovery.
It's estimated that just 2% of burned areas along Colorado's Front Range have been replanted. Nearly 250,000 seeds were collected last month along the Front Range, and the U.S. Forest Service is currently harvesting pine cones in the Pike National Forest. The goal for this year is to collect 1 million seeds. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
It's easy for residents living on the Front Range to take their access to high-speed internet for granted. Despite thousands of dollars in government grants, some rural parts of southwestern Colorado are still not connected to the World Wide Web. In the first of three stories, KVNF's Scott Franz looks at what's getting in the way.
Norwood is a small agricultural community in San Miguel County. You'll find lots of cattle ranches here and landline telephones. They're still a vital communication tool because the internet is extremely slow.
I see this kid on his bicycle.
And residents will do almost anything for a better connection.
He's sitting outside on his phone.
Carrie Andrew is a local librarian.
The mosquitoes are so bad that he's riding in circles while he's using his phone so that the mosquitoes won't bite him. But he was in the parking lot for 30 minutes using our internet.
And just like that kid, those trying to change things have felt like they too are riding around in circles at times. Like Erica Lepschies. She works at a nonprofit that's leading the effort to expand broadband within the county.
We've tried a lot of different tactics.
She spent months trying to convince dozens of property owners between Telluride, Norwood, and the town of Nucla to use a fiber optic cable that's already buried under their homes. As we drive to Telluride, she tells me about some of their demands.
I had a guy, this is one of the California guys who doesn't really come out here that often. He said, well, you can pay me $400 a month for 10 years. And I said, where did you get that number from? And he said, well, that's what I think it's worth. You know, okay, well, we're going to go back and forth because I don't think it's worth that, you know?
As a result, Lipschitz has given up on the route between Nucla and Norwood. Instead, she's using a $767,000 state grant to dig a new trench around the holdout property owners.
I'd like to think that, you know, they gave us the grant because we need it. And thank goodness they did, because otherwise we would be really stuck.
The fiber is just now reaching Norwood, but that doesn't mean everyone is going to benefit from it in the county, like brothers Drew and Grant Dorn and their online business.
We use the line of sight microwave internet, which tends to be really spotty.
Together, they run the Dead Drift fly fishing apparel shop on the way to Telluride. It's inside an old train station.
Are there other options you have right now?
At this time, that's like our only option here. So we'd love to get fiber. We keep hearing rumors of fiber coming, but now I think they said they're going to bypass us and go straight to Telluride instead of coming up the canyon, which is a bummer.
Meanwhile, Telluride is benefiting from the broadband project Erica Lipschitz is overseeing. One of their goals is to lower prices and provide more reliable internet service for the local high school ahead of the new school year.
With all the challenges you face, you know, from grouping different organizations together, the physical challenges of drilling through streets and bringing stuff here, I mean, why be so persistent?
People want to live here for a lot of different reasons, and it's not fair to say that, well, there's no broadband, it's not worth it, you can just leave, because it's people have generations who've lived here, and to tell someone that it's not worth it to try to improve the quality of their living because it's too expensive or it's too hard, it's just not fair.
But somewhat ironically, as we talk about the challenges, the power goes out, and so does the internet.
Copy that. I have no generator.
Back at the Norwood Library, where the fiber connection is up and running, children are using computers to do their homework. As we keep our voices down, it's hard for librarian Megan Coxwell to contain her excitement.
We're connected. We're part of the world community, thanks to broadband. We can do whatever we need to do from this tiny little town. We don't have to leave, which is nice for a lot of us that don't really want to have to drive 40 miles or 120 miles to get, you know, somewhere else.
After 4 years of work and the added cost of moving things along the way, the rest of the town and many of its nearly 600 residents should be connected by the end of the year. I'm Scott Franz in Norwood, Colorado.
And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Thursday, September 19th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.